Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we'll see what happens. All right, so what are you saying, Fahim? What I'm saying is this. These abstract composites. Okay. There's a realm of reality. In British parlance, they don't talk about math as like one thing. It's talked about as maths. Here's another movie. The Man Who Knew Infinity, true story. The Man Who Knew Infinity. And he would come up with, devise, discover mathematical formulas, principles, laws, rules that the Europeans of Oxford and whatever the major universities are over there, he would come up with answers that they would have to affirm that, yeah, it's true, but how did you get there, right? So for him, it comes across as something intuitive, but once it's presented to the people who know the steps of the math to get there and what it speaks to, they're trying to figure out how did you come to that, correct though it is, conclusion, how did you come to that? And he couldn't explain it. But inside the movie, it's like, it has a religious overtone, a religious source. But it's true science, true history, not fiction. It's real name. Look it up. The Man Who Knew Infinity. Now, all that is to say this, brother and sister. There's a world of reality that's behind everything that we see. We have the physics and you have metaphysics, right? So the plotting that man has done to come up with the maths, right? Geometry, you know, whatever, trigonometry, calculus, and all these others. It's expressed as being discovered, right? It's expressed as being discovered. Sometimes someone would say that Isaac Newton, for example, that Isaac Newton created calculus, right? He created calculus. No, it's more proper since it operates in a lawful manner. It's a lawful system that pre-existed Isaac Newton. It always existed prior to Isaac Newton, right? You go back to the ancient Kemet. You go back to pre-Pythagoras. You go back to, you know, the pyramid builders, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, and the mathematics that those structures and that they portray, they're saying, well, we already knew this, right? And then Pythagoras and the rest of that. And so it is with Isaac Newton, who's also quoted as saying, if I am able to see farther than others, it's because we stand on the shoulders of giants, right? So the idea is that as new minds come in, those minds are able to draw down, if you will, from phenomena, reality, that reality is behind what you see. But once that mind that comes into existence among the human being, it's able to reach into and beyond the physical to the metaphysical and bring that back into the world and then apply it in a way where those who are seeing it being applied say, well, yeah, you can't deny that. The proof is in the pudding. That's it. But it's not always coming by means of going from the bottom up. Sometimes it comes down, so it's experienced like an intuition. Like I mentioned, the savants, right? The savants didn't go to college to get that. They didn't get any training to get that. It is quote unquote intuitive. But the point is that they are not creating it. They are not creating it. It already exists. So the point is, accessing what already exists from behind, I'm going to call it, the veil. And this is what Iqbal talked to us about when he said that the laws of nature are the garments of reality. The laws of nature are the garments of reality. So these things that we have, that we are in possession of, again, the maths and the other aspects, these rules and laws and principles operating in creation that get discovered and written down and, you know, and projected and preserved for the benefit of the world, where did they come from? They are not created. They are just exposing and quote unquote revealing to the world phenomena that is already true in nature, but until the mind arrives that can see, experience, understand. Okay, Einstein, again, another one. It's like he wasn't creating those things that are identified with him as being a source of information for E equals MC squared, et cetera. That truth, E equals MC squared, was already true before Einstein was born. It was true before he was born. But nobody had the mind to bring it in, understand it, translate it from their head onto paper, and now it belongs to the world. Now it has a place in the world. But it was already existing trillions of years before Einstein was born. But when Einstein got the mind that became the receptacle for it, capable of pulling it down and then making it concrete in the world, with that, now it's in the world. The world benefits from it. But it was existing before Einstein and before anybody else. But it was not available and accessible to the world until the Einstein mind. And it applies to every other thing that is of that magnitude. Okay, so that's what happens, right? Obviously, with regard to when we talk about things like, you know, math and laws of nature, et cetera, et cetera, I'm using the savants to be the example to show that it already existed and it can come even to a mind that is not built up for that purpose, okay? And it can come into, let's just call it an opening that comes as a result of whatever trauma, difficulty, dysfunction, pathology, dis-ease in some cases happens in certain minds. It actually tears a veil between this world and the metaphysical aspect of the world of abstract composites, and so it sort of leaks through. It leaks through into the quote-unquote the mind consciousness of these savants. Okay, but the point is that the savants, they had nothing to do with creating it or anything. Like, they just became a window, an aperture, a crack through which, I'm just using that metaphor, through which, because the universe is uniform and there's no cracks or fissures in it, but that's an analogy, a metaphor. So it's like, okay, it comes through. It came through because that mind got situated through the trauma, through the birth defect, or whatever it might have been in their cases that became an avenue for a stream of certain type of knowledge that already existed in the universe. But because there was a receptor for it on this side of that veil, then here it comes, right? And what I'm saying is that it just gives us proof or way of understanding that world already exists. But quote-unquote normal people, they have to be developed. They have to have exercises, mental exercises, developments as persons that build them up to come to a place where they can get into that realm of thinking. I hope I've said it. I'm trying. It exists, But there's a bar between the normal world, that our everyday living world. There's a bar between our everyday living world and that metaphysical transcendent world. There's a natural bar. It's not natural for common human beings to see all that. No. There are occasions, in the case of the savants, where they are not normal from a neurological point of view. They are not normal. But their particular abnormality creates a channel or a means, a stream or whatever, an opening, because since there is no, since everything is coherent, everything is continuous, but in the case of those particular individuals, there is a fissure, but it's a fissure, F-I-S-S-U-R-E, but it's between their mind and that space. When I say that space, I mean the metaphysical. And so therefore, in a particular stream, if it's math, if it's art, if it's memory, you know, if it's the calendar, okay, well, that's just their mind their stream of consciousness is cracked in that particular piece, and so it comes through. Doesn't change the universe. It's like that's the way the universe is, and that's who they are. You can study that further. The point is that now for everybody else, again, the other great minds of the world. You choose your own great mind of the world. George Washington Carver. Let's get some color into this so-called color into this. You know, George Washington Carver, in his very special connection and relationship to plant life, you know, that is a quote-unquote marvelous connection there. He had a different kind of metaphysical, spiritual relationship with agriculture, plant life, and the like that was transcendent to the mind of the average one, whether they are trained in the field or untrained in the field. His connect was there, but his connect is also a natural connect. He was quote-unquote normal for all intents and purposes. There was no savant-ish breaks or traumas or defects, birth defects that put him in that position. No, he evolved through his interests, through his nature, et cetera, and he came to a point of seeing and connecting with nature in a way that nobody else could really compare in his time. I don't even know if since his time. All right, so the point is that higher knowledge, that deeper knowledge, that profound knowledge, that haq is always there. This is the point. There is knowledge beyond our imagination. You know, Elon Musk does come to mind because, you know, he's getting that label deserved or not. Maybe he deserves it. I don't know. He's doing stuff. I don't know. But then also, you know, I got to watch out for the you know, those folks bear watching. But setting that aside, the idea is that he's doing stuff, quote unquote, that has not been done by the individual citizens before him. Oh, we can go back to Hidden Figures and the reality of our sisters who were the computers, right? And then to speak of the leader of it and her magnitude of knowledge of math and her connection and her intuitive touch with it that, you know, was like, hey, and she was quote unquote normal in that respect, but gifted in that sense. But again, another demonstration of there's something that's already existing, but you've got to be big enough to access it. You have to grow. See, normal people have to grow to the point where they can access what's behind the veil, right? Yes. Yeah. And brother and sister, now, I hope that's sufficient to let you know that there's this possibility that exists for you. As long as you are alive, you are in a position to get behind the veil. Yeah, you are in a position to get behind the veil. I'm using these words that are used in all this other kind of I'm not even gonna bring those other words up, because they're just like we just talked about myth. There are other words that are used to apply to what I'm speaking of that could be brought into the conversation, but they would be just as misunderstood as the common mind misunderstands myth. So I won't bring it. At another time we bring it up. Because what I'm trying to push you away from, and inshallah protect your potential sensitivity to go into the gravity of, yeah, man, I need to get more into them YouTube videos that be talking about X, Y, Z, Z, Y, X. Okay, if you got a light to go into them caves, then okay, it's fine. But if you don't have a light to go into those caves, and if you don't know what kind of creatures are inside those caves, don't mess with that. Don't mess with that. You won't make it out. All right. I gotta leave it right there for right now. So when it says that myths are symbolic stories about perennial patterns that are always with us, then that's all. That's the way that we need, and that's how Imam Muhammad was teaching us, particularly in the 70s and the 80s. I think genuinely around the time, I think we did it. We had a Ramadan session. I can't remember which one it was, but we had a Ramadan session, and somebody asked Imam about, I think it might even been about the Matrix, right? And somebody asked him about the Matrix, and the Imam said, it's a good movie, go watch it, but I don't want you all depending on me for that kind of thing, right? So he had given us a kind of an appetite and interest, woke us up to the fact of how films and how in the scientific world, et cetera, how they do that, how they manipulate, how they, you know, hide and reveal at the same time doing that. That's fine. But he said, but I don't want you to stay there in terms of that. So the Imam kind of, you know, withdrew from doing those kinds of things, because there was a time for it and there's a time not for it. There's a part of me that will explain yourself. I'm not going to do that. If you can't feel the explanation through what I do and how I do what I do, then there's no explanation for you. You're not ready. Allahu alam. So in any case, so the point here is that these perennial patterns are always with us. And so this is what the Imam is talking to us, and this is what we're bringing as testimony to the fact that the Imam said that there are natural patterns in the creation, and you need to be in touch with those patterns in order to form your own thinking. Because if you don't use that as a foundation for your thinking, then you're going to have faulty thought patterns. You're going to have faulty thinking. And so therefore, when the Imam tells us about the scripture uses figurative speech and figurative expressions to speak to us about things that are scientific, actual, and very real. So figurative speech and figurative expression can be correlated in this with abstract composites, right? The figurative speech is telling you there's a realm of reality that transcends where you are right now. But if you can get in touch with what is meant by this personification, this abstraction, you can be in touch with that level of knowledge that's beyond what you see. That level of knowledge that exists and that is powerful, that is beyond what you see. But you have to, the path to it is by translating, interpreting, understanding how this thing in this world is pointing to something unseen in a realm beyond the physical. That's where we are. So I guess I keep going, and inshallah, we can get that better. Okay. So let's do that. Let's just move on. And inshallah, we'll leave some time to be able to ask questions for clarification if need be. So here, Vivekananda continues. He said, the real world is how the untrained mind, the real world, this haqiqah for us, the real world is how the trained mind, the wise mind, sees the world. You got two people standing right next to each other. One is an untrained mind, the other is a trained mind. They are in two different worlds. They are seeing two different worlds. Standing right next to each other, sitting right next to each other. One is seeing one world, the other is seeing another world. The untrained mind is seeing what the consensus trance causes them to see. The trained mind sees the world as it really is. That's the matrix and non-matrix kind of thing, right? It's how the world looks when you, that is the trained mind, is the mind that sees the world. And it is how the world looks when you're in touch with reality. That's the world they're seeing. They're seeing the way the world looks when you're in touch with reality, right? That's a big deal. Do you think you know or are in touch with somebody who you can pretty much say that they have no idea what in the world is going on? Have you ever been sitting next to somebody like that? And you could say easily to yourself, they have no idea what in the world is going on. Brother and sister, most of the Bilalians, even if, you know, 80-20 is a normal curve, you know, no. We're talking 95-97% have no idea of what the world is going on. And even when you pull out those people that are supposed to be deep into something, whatever it is, Allahu alam, it's just the truth. You know, I'm not trying to be at all just arrogant or anything like that. It's just true. I mean, you got people, they think they've grabbed some secret knowledge. They think they grabbed some knowledge that, yeah, y'all don't know this. I'm not going to name any names, but it's like you have no idea. I mean, they have grabbed something that the shaitan, that the Jacobite has thrown out there just because they know you have the appetite for it. I mean, literally, it is like fishing. Jacobite is the fisherman. He's the fisherman. And the fish are those people who they know that they have an appetite for something beyond what the world has given us. And then the Jacobites see you searching for something beyond what the world is offering. And so he puts his line together with the bait on it and throws it out there. And man, they got you. And to be hooked on something in that respect, it's sort of like, I mean, you get conviction, you get committed, you get devoted, you get, man, I ain't giving this up for nothing and nobody. And all the time, you're dangling on the Jacobite's hook. I'm just saying. So, the real world is how the trained mind, the wise mind, sees the world. It is how the world looks when you're in touch with reality. When your mind is not beset by illusion and delusion, when you have that sense that this is how things really are, this is the invitation and this is the offering, this is the gift, this is the grace of Al-Islam. Al-Islam will enable you, by Allah's mercy and guidance, it will enable you to see for real, to see the real. And the Quran says here, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, Ayah 201. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. صدق الله العظيم. Says, indeed, those who have taqwa, when an impulse or an idea or a thought from Satan touches them, they think and then they see correctly. All right? It's so very important. Now, put this on the side. It's coming, inshallah. Shaitan's work has everything to do with his ability to manipulate us through our urges and impulses of which we are unconscious, right? He's able to manipulate us through the urges and impulses of which we are unconscious. Now, we are all, every human being, we are all populated by urges and impulses and appetites, motivations, drives, sentiments, and aspirations, each of which wants to be in charge. Just think about it. Think about it. How many urges and impulses do you think are in your body? Just your body. So the body has urges and impulses. But also your mind has urges and impulses, right? So it's like, how many different appetites do you think are running through you? How many different urges? How many different impulses? I mean, this is a symbol of our instincts and our impulses and our urges are the stars. The stars are a symbol of that. Right? So how many do you think there are? All right? And there are some, because of the way that we are predisposed and because of the way that we are acculturated, there are some that rise up and become more powerful and more, well, attractive, or even also have more gravity than the others. It comes from our predisposition, comes from our socialization, so that such that one impulse kind of gets ahead of the others. And now, that impulse, it has an aspiration, but it doesn't have a particular, it's not necessarily morally guided, rationally guided, spiritually guided, but it's an urge, it's an appetite, it's an impulse. Now, if we don't master that urge, that appetite, it does, even if you think it's a good thing, it could be like for prayer. It could be for prayer, right? And I'm just going to hit you with the hadith of the Prophet. There are those that, I'm going to fast without ceasing. I'm going to pray without ceasing. I'm never going to touch women anymore. Okay, that appetite came up in some of the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And the Prophet had to check them. He had to say, look. I fast and I break my fast. I pray and I sleep, you know, and I marry women, and this is my sunnah, and whoever rejects my sunnah has nothing to do with me. But what is that? They even thought that those urges, those impulses, which were monastic and ascetic, etc., supposedly they're thinking that it was for good, right? No. See, so Shaitan can move even your good urges and appetites to an extreme. Now it's diseased, right? But it was started out as a good thing. But then if it was not under management, now that good thing becomes a bad thing. Word enantiodromia. Either way, it's not Arabic, it's Greek. So the point is that, I said it was a sidebar, but we're going to get to that because that's the big deal. And Al-Islam covers it, number one, by saying stay away from all extremes, right? That's Al-Islam, boom. And then also fasting in the month of Ramadan, and also other fasts, alhamdulillah, but Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, you know, 30 days in accordance with what Allah, in a year, in the course of what Allah has ordered, that's what's necessary for your maintenance of your humanity. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his way is also for our excellence. You know, if you want to be more excellent, then fasting outside of that time would drive you a little higher on the scale of things. Allahu alam. But enough said in terms of those urges and impulses, because that's what shaitan cues into. He keys into urges and impulses that are not restrained, urges and impulses that are not domesticated. Those are your jinn. All right? And so the idea, and those urges and impulses without a mind, see, that's Hawa without Adam, those urges and impulses without a mind governing it are easy access to or for shaitan. And then shaitan is able to, at the unconscious level, because the mind not being conscious of what's going on in the unconscious makeup, shaitan can sneak in and subliminally get there and then work up that urge and that impulse until we wind up in hell. Allahu alam. It ain't the hell that's the hell that shaitan brings you into in this world. It's not the hell that Allah has planned for Satan and all those who follow him. All right. Okay. So let's go ahead and end it there. Those of you on Blog Talk, push one on your phone. You have.
you'll be so free.
Rasulullah, dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us this morning for Quran Salat Institute. We continue on our journey. Really, that last little piece from the piece of the last week was where we really started out looking at Iblis, the jinn, Shaitan, and the taghut. And that was all connected. And we're still on that path. There's just certain things that come up. And once being aware of the fact that, hey, well, you need to know this too. You need to know that too. And so therefore we have, you can call them rest stops along the way. You can call them benchmarks, call them what you will. The point is that the object is to create much, much more of a seamless kind of path to that knowledge. So yes, that last piece that we talked about is really at the core of the destiny when we talk about Iblis, the jinn, Iblis, Shaitan, and the taghut. Those are graduations as well. Okay, and we talked about in the course of driving towards that conclusion, language in the school of thought of Imam Wahdati Muhammad, and we're not using school of thought explicitly in the way that people normally think of, those who have any knowledge of it, what they normally think of when you say school of thought. It's not talking about Imam Shafi'i, Imam Maliki, Imam Abu Hanifa, Ibn Hanbal. No, it's talking about methodologies for thought, ways of thinking, ways of reading, ways of seeing, worldview, etc. It's new to the extent that it's a restoration of knowledge that has fundamentally been lost in this world, but now, alhamdulillah, being brought back to awareness. Having been brought back to awareness by Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayh. So we're continuing on that journey. So let's get to it. Today I'm going to start off at a piece that those of you who've been with us, you have seen this image. You've seen this image many times. Now we finally have an opportunity to go ahead and speak to it. Go ahead and talk about it. All it is, I took the image offline of the little boy. This little boy, he just works visually for the parable that I'm going to read. But he's a little boy that on YouTube, he's naming all the countries on the planet Earth, naming all the countries on the planet Earth. And so I thought that would be good to go along with this particular parable for understanding isomorphism. And we'll put a little touch on isomorphism when we continue. But all of this is aimed at translating the complicated ideas and theories into the language of the common person so they can get the benefit. That's the charge that Imam Muhammad gave to thought leaders, those individuals who want to carry his language and carry his ideals and spread them in the world. MashaAllah, it's like Al-Islam, Quran, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all that's understood. That's understood. Just like you run a computer, it's understood that you have an operating system behind it, period. Nobody is operating a computer that doesn't have an operating system working. The computer would not work without it. Okay, we're Muslims. And so whatever I might say about Imam Wahdati Muhammad, it should all be evaluated through the lens of what is already foundationally al-Islam. Enough said about that. Let's read this parable. This parable is told in many different ways, but you'll find it listed as the little boy and the world map. Here's the story. An executive is busy working in his home office when his six-year-old son comes in and starts asking him to play. After much persistence followed by much frustration, the exec pulls out a magazine, opens it up to a large fold-out map of the world. Pulling out the map, he cuts it into hundreds of tiny pieces and gives them to his son. Here, son, after you put together this map of the world, then I'll play with you. Knowing that a six-year-old has no idea what a map of the world looks like, he assumed that this task should keep his son busy for at least a couple of hours. But 10 minutes later, his son came back into the office and said, "All done, Daddy." The executive thought his son was exaggerating, but upon going into the room, the entire map was perfectly assembled, and the father asked his son, "Son, how on earth did you figure out how to do this so quickly?" "It was easy, Daddy." The boy began turning over the pieces one at a time, and as he did, his father saw that on the other side of the world map was a photograph of a man. "You see, Daddy, when you put the man together, the whole world falls into place." And that is, that's what's saying, that's abstract. So now here's an example, because I really, really want you to own and understand when you make a statement saying that's abstract, I want you to be able to functionally know what that means, what that means. So when I make the statement that when you put the man together, the whole world falls into place, that's abstract. That's abstract. And what do you mean by abstract? It's truth without details. It's truth without details. So it's truth, but it has to be unpacked. It has to be elaborated on in order to pull the meaning out and make it more explicit, right? So the abstract is what is implied. The concrete is what is explicit. All right, so the power of the story is that in a compact way, it tells us what we need to do existentially. And essentially, that is a statement of what isomorphism is. No matter how you feel about that word, meaning, you know, maybe the word might, "Oh, man, I don't know if I can say that too much." It's like, listen, it's a word, right? Isomorphism. Iso means something being brought in. Iso. Morph means form. And ism is whatever, a type of doing, whatever, capitalism, right? So isomorphism is the idea of bringing the form in, right? So you hear in that the word information. Okay, so isomorphism is forming yourself on the inside. That's what isomorphism is. It's forming yourself on the inside. So you want to know, okay, well, how do I form myself on the inside, right? And in this parable, it says, when you put the man together, the whole world falls into place, right? Now, you can reverse that. I don't know the logic language or terminology for what I'm saying. Maybe it's obverse or conversely. Conversely seems to be opposing. Obversely, like you have the dollar bill on one side and then the obverse side is the other side. Or the coin, the heads and tails. One is the obverse. I would think that the tails is considered to be the obverse side of it. Okay. Or again, reversing the reasoning, making it equational, meaning that you put the man together and the whole world falls into place. You put the world together, then the man falls into place. You put the world together, and the man falls into place. Saying all that to say that there is a construction that we have to accomplish it with our life. You know, with our get yourself together, right? The impression song that we used to play. Finally got myself together. Now I know just who I am, right? That's very important. Now let's put a hadith on it, just for the idea. Where the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he who has known himself has known his Lord. He who has known himself has known his Lord, right? Now, some people have the mistaken notion and reading of that, yeah, because I am Lord. You know, when you get the knowledge of yourself, you become God. No. He who has known himself has known his Lord. The only way that you are going to get to know yourself is to get to know your Lord, right? And as Allah, as your knowledge of Allah increases, you also increase in form, development, growth, etc., until you become fully self-aware. When you become fully self-aware, you will also at the same time become fully aware of your Lord. All right, so when you put the man together and the whole world falls into place. All right, so let's add the verse 30-30, Fitratullahi lati fatara an-nas. So you have 30-30, which effectively is a mirror of each, the chapter is a mirror of the verse, and the verse is a mirror of the chapter, 30-30. And so, which is to say to us, that you can add to Fitratullahi lati fatara an-nas, alayha, man was made upon it. There's a pattern in the universe, and man was made upon that pattern in the universe. When the man can pattern himself in accordance with the pattern that's in the universe, now he's got himself together. He's got himself together. And this in that verse, very verse, it says, ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ قَيِّمًا وَلَّكِنَ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That is the way of life that'll get you straight. But most among mankind don't know that. Most among mankind don't know that. This is why we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding us to al-Islam. In kuntum sadiqeen, Quran says, if you are sincere. Let's move on. All right, so commentary to reconnect with the latest portion that when we started moving down this avenue, comments from Imam Muhammad out of the book published by Imam Rano Shahid under the title Education of Sacred Matter, drawing from the Imam's statement that Adam is an innate pattern for thinking in every human being. That same pattern exists in the cosmological order of creation. All right, so we just talked about 30-30. Here's the statement explicitly from the book. The Imam says, we all begin as thinkers, and we all begin with patterns of thinking. Our thinking takes patterns, and if we do not have an orientation that has as its source in matter, the real natural world creation, if we do not have our beginning there, then we take patterns sometimes that are faulty from the beginning. One faulty pattern follows another, and most people are just creatures of random thoughts and random patterns of development for the growth of their mind or mentality. That is why the world is in such a mess, end quote. All right, so most of the world doesn't have itself together. Most of the world doesn't have itself together because most of the world's mental state or patterns of thought, right, are not grounded in reality. They're grounded in the media in some way. And unfortunately, in some cases, it's grounded in the educational system, but all of which is incorporated, all of which is, how can you say, born of the culture that gave rise to it. And if the culture itself is not grounded on the natural patterns, the patterns of nature, the patterns in reality, then you get a bunch of educated people who are not real. MashaAllah. So, all right. So that's where we start. So why is this important? Brain patterns and thought structures. These are my comments. Brain patterns and thought structures are receptive to particular types of information in creation and in the environment. As the mind grows and changes, brain patterns form that are more receptive to and more predisposed towards particular types of information in the environment. All right. Illustration. Just look at anything anything. Doesn't matter. Anything you look at in your immediate environment, I'm talking about the environment that you are in, not even the computer screen. I'm talking about the environment that you are in. You look at it and you see colors. I see brown. I see black. I see blue. I see orange. I see yellow. I see beige. I see red. I see all these different colors, right? Why do I see those colors? Not just the fact that my eyes and retina, et cetera, are functioning. That just, I mean, why do I see colors? Why is the chair black or brown? Or why is the rug red or the wall beige or the wire black? It is because color is in the incoherent light, that's what science calls it, light, the common light that's out, even the sunlight that we see out there, but light in general that we see, is incoherent light, right? When you talk about laser, then you're talking about a very specific wavelength of light that could be green, could be red, or what have you. So incoherent light, and that's going to be important, inshallah, as we go further into a particular verse in the Quran that I want to talk about. But it's incoherent light. Let's just go with that. Incoherent light. All right. Why are the things that we're talking about having their various colors, why do they manifest or show the color that they're showing? It's because of the chemical composition of the matter, whatever it is. If I'm looking at leather, if I'm looking at plastic, if I'm looking at wood, I'm looking at rubber, whatever it is, it has a chemical composition. It has a chemical composition. And what that chemical composition does, it draws off, I'm going to say abstracts. It abstracts, it draws out of the incoherent light, which has all the spectrums of light, all the wavelengths of light in it. Incoherent light has all the wavelengths of light in them. Which ones show on certain things, which wavelengths, colors show in particular and from particular things, it is because of the chemical composition of the thing that you see as blue or you see as black or brown or red or what have you. It's the chemical composition because all of that light is there. Another way that you can get an understanding of that is radio waves, right? Same way with television, broadcast waves. All those radio waves, broadcast waves of various types. All right. So in the room that I'm in right now, every radio wave, television wave, carrier waves for visual images, you know, in the next room, television is playing, right? And it's projecting something. Now, if I had that television in my room and I had it on that channel, then I would be looking at the same thing. But because I don't have the particular mechanism that draws down that particular signal and in turn projects that signal in my environment, I'm not seeing it. But it's not because it's not here. Is because I don't have the mechanism that grabs it and projects it. Okay, well, that's what color is on objects. Color projecting from objects is the chemical composition, abstracting from the incoherent light, that particular spectrum of light, and therefore you see it as black, red, brown, blue, etc. All right, the universe, which is your environment, that which surrounds the mind, the universe is, in a manner of speaking, like that incoherent light. It's like that incoherent light. The universe is, I won't say nothing but. The universe is, well, we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to Allah, the Lord of the systems of knowledge. So what is the universe? The universe is systems of knowledge. The universe is systems of knowledge. All right? The universe is information. information in the context of knowledge. All right? But now you can see, I hope you can, that the idea of choosing to use the word information to describe knowledge is also a hint that you have to get formed on the inside. You have to get formed on the inside, and that the role of knowledge is to form you on the inside. But now, if you get the wrong knowledge, you're going to get the wrong information, and you're going to get formed wrong on the inside. So let's go back and take advantage of that. When the imam says, he says, our thinking takes patterns, and if we do not have an orientation that has as its source in matter, you got to make sure that your information is from and grounded in, respected by, affirmed by the real natural world creation. Otherwise, it is the furor, which is where we are now. Creation supported social logic on our journey, creation supported social logic and the meaning of furor, which is basically ended the difference. Last week we talked about the furor. The difference of the furor has to do with the trained or the untrained mind. So you have a mind that's developed and the mind that's quote-unquote patterned correctly now in our information. If that mind is patterned correctly, then it'll be able to see the information that's in creation. If that mind is not patterned or not patterned correctly, then it's still an illusion. It's still a furor. They're not in touch with the reality. Right? And so this is the advice that the imam has given us. Make sure that your thinking patterns, your thought patterns, are grounded in the real natural world creation. If you do not have your beginning there, then you're going to take patterns that sometimes are faulty from the beginning. And then it's the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, started off, didn't see how much of a lean there was to it, but you keep seeing how, I know that's not how Tower of Pisa started leaning, but you get my point, that it's like you can be a little, you know, 1 degree off at your base. Now you keep building on that 1 degree off on your base. Now you really, you leaning. So, all right. So just like there are the colors that are projected based on the chemical composition of the material that's projecting the color, likewise, this universe, which is nothing but information, I use that lightly, the nothing but. Now, as I said about the TV and radio signal, right? You have a device that has the capacity of drawing down particular bands or spectrums of waves, whether it's carrier waves for the radio, carrier waves for the television, fine. Okay. So the idea, those radios and those TVs are like our brains. Those radios and those TVs are like our brains. Understand the metaphor, which is apt, but I just want to be clear. I don't want the aluminum hat team to check in. My job. It was funny to me right now. So, all right. So the idea is that the brain, right? Now, so the difference between gurur and not gurur is brain pattern. The brain pattern of the individual, which, like the chemical composition, so your brain pattern becomes the chemical composition of you, right? So that means that you're going to absorb, abstract, and project in accordance with your brain patterns, right? And when your brain patterns are grounded in the nature that Allah has created, now you're on physical lahi latifatranas. When you say, look, I want to think in the way that Allah created me to think. I want to think on the things that Allah has created. I want to think through the things that Allah has created. I want to reason with and upon the nature that Allah has shown me in the classroom of the universe. All right? So when I look at spiders and frogs and butterflies and plant life and water's behavior and all everything, I said, okay, what is that telling me about me as a creation of Allah? What is that lesson? and how does it play in my everyday life, right? That's creation-supported social logic. That is the language of Imam Wahdati Muhammad. That is the Imam Muhammad school of thought, okay? Very important. So you get that, man, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah bless everybody who has advanced degrees. Praise be to Allah. I'm honored to be friends of many in close and at a distance. However, you who are not on that particular track, don't think you have to have that to be on par in your thinking. All right? I'm not going to elaborate on that anymore. That is today. In the future, you may hear that again. So, all right, so where are we? So the pattern, brain patterns, all right. All right, so as your mind grows and changes, then that's the brain patterns change, all right? The chemical composition, in my analogy, the chemical composition change. And what does that do? Then you're able to absorb more of what's out there. And when you see mind is the personalization of the brain. Mind is the personalization of the brain. Alhamdulillah, my beautiful, wonderful wife of 49 years, tick-tock, headed for 50. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. She can get a pizza out of the store, and bring it in the kitchen. By the time she finished with it, it ain't the same pizza. It ain't that big. You know, hey, Red Baron got to take his scarf off to Yolanda Mahasin Shirai. I'm just going to tell you what it is. Can't you tell? Don't be lying to me. When she puts her touch on it, it's a whole different thing. And it's the same way with other things, okay? So she has personalized that pizza. Right, personalized. It's no longer what it was when it came off the assembly line and when it was stacked up in the store. When you come home, you put her touch on it. It's a whole different thing. All right. So it is with brain. All of us have brains. Alhamdulillah. All of us have brains, but all of us have different experiences, different education, different interests, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so then that's the personalization of your brain. Your brain has been personalized by, and it's this, that personalization is described in your brain patterns, right? All right, so as we recognize that the changing of our brains and its brain patterns and its personalizing, it's becoming personalized through our socialization, acculturation, education, et cetera. That's my brain. And you have your brain, et cetera. And so just like the chemical composition of the material that we just talked about, likewise, you're going to be attracted to, and you're going to attract to yourself certain kinds of knowledge. You're going to be predisposed to certain kinds of knowledge. You're going to be receptive to certain kinds of knowledge. Alhamdulillah, that's reality. That's us. Beautiful. Beautiful. So the idea is to know yourself in that respect. What kind of knowledge am I attracted to? What kind of knowledge am I predisposed to? See, because you may end that, I know you will actually, if you pay attention to it, you will get more and more of this discovery of yourself that we talked about from the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he who has known himself has known his Lord. So if you keep getting to know yourself, and I'll throw another word in here, phenomenology. And the point to understand that things that attract your attention, whatever it might be, okay, you women, you're going shopping for a dress for a dinner party. Men, you're going shopping for a suit for a dinner party. But you go, you don't know exactly what you want. You know what kind of event it is. You know where it is. You know who's going to be there. Oh, you know those things. So you go in with that kind of criteria. But then when you step into the shop, all you do, you're just looking. Then there's something, there it is. How do you know? There it is. Because something about you, your brain pattern, your sensitivity, your interest, et cetera, tells you that's the one. Now, it may be, let me allow me a little humor, you know. It may be like that television commercial where the woman said when your phone service gives you the message, the person on the other end, they said this, but you heard that, right? So he said, it's not a costume party. It's what she said, but then the woman heard it's a costume party. Oh, it's a costume party, right? So then, you know, the rest of it, she shows up that way. So my object is to say that we can find something that really feels good to us, feels good for us, but for somebody else, it's out of tune. It's out of touch. It's not the right thing. And that could be the case for so many things. I'm only saying that to say that we all don't like the same thing. We don't see the same way. We don't value things in the same way. That's good. And we have to allow everybody to be the way that they are. But you are focused on and your interest is you be true to yourself. And I mean that in the best way. I don't mean it in the cheating kind of crazy world way that this world, that, yeah, I'm just going to be true to myself. You know, no, I'm talking about true to the self that Allah created. True to the self that Allah intends. That's what I'm speaking to. It's true to the destiny that Allah has for human beings. True to the values, like وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. True to the soul that already knows what's good for you and already knows what's bad for you. That soul, so you have to be in touch with that soul. You have to be open to that soul. You have to be aware of that soul. You have to be thinking about that soul. You have to be listening for what that soul is going to tell you. And that's what I'm saying. I use that as an illustration for the shopping for a garment to explain phenomenology. It's like, see, when something attracts your attention in a very strong way, it could be a hint from your soul that, man, you better pay attention to that. You need to pay attention. Dig a little bit deeper into that because it really is saying something. You don't quite know what it's saying, but you know it's saying something to you. Pay attention. Pay attention. That's taqwa. Pay attention. And inshallah, that's how. So this is how the soul helps you to construct your reality, your personal reality. See, because you want to construct your personal reality, you want to construct your personality upon what Allah created you as. You want to construct your personality upon what Allah created you as. And who knows who you are? Your soul knows who you are. But you have to listen to your soul, right? And so in terms of knowledge, for example, knowledge. So some people are interested in chemistry. Some people are interested in math. Some people are interested in literature. Some people are interested in history. Some people are interested in psychology. Some people are interested in whatever. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Go for it. Go for it. That's why I put this ayah 2:148. To each is the goal to which it is turning, so strive is it a race towards all that is good. You know? Well, why? Because everybody has a proclivity in them. That's you. That's you. And you pray for Allah's guidance that you call it correctly and that you connect with it correctly and that you're not deluded and you're not distracted and you're not confused. And given that you're in touch with that, and then you follow it with the interest of in the interest of excellence, fastabiqul khairat, right? And then read the rest of that section of verses all the way like to 155 to Surah 2:155, and then he said, you know, whosoever you start for, turn toward the sacred masjid. What's the message? That's abstract, right? What's the message? The message is develop your talents and put it on the table for the benefit of humanity in accordance with the will of Allah. Develop, identify it to each is the goal to which you want, to which each is turning. Identify it, cultivate it, strive for the excellence of it, put it on the table for the benefit of humanity in accordance with the will of Allah. That's it. What else you gonna do? What else? Okay, now I don't do that. Okay. What are you going to do? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Let's move on. So Al-Islam, and particularly the insights of Imam Muhammad into Al-Islam, educate us into the best brain patterns and structures. If you understand the power of brain patterns that I'm talking to you about, and the source of brain patterns that we've spoken of, remember, there are sources of brain patterns that are bad sources, and there are sources of brain patterns that are good sources, right? The best source for our brain pattern is, as the Imam said, it's nature, natural creation, and our own souls. The insights from your soul that will come to your mind as intuitions, et cetera. It's like, that's the soul said, hey, try a little bit of this. Try a little bit of this. Follow this and see where it takes you. That's your soul. Your soul has a life separate than your personalized brain. Yeah, it says, وَنَفْسًا وَمَا سَوَاهَا, by the soul and its enlightenment. All right? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا, blessed is he that causes it to grow. There's two separate entities there. There's he and there's it. But the soul has the enlightenment. He's trying to get it. Allahu Akbar. The soul has it. He's trying to get it. But he's not going to get it unless he pays attention. Taqwa. All right. So Al-Islam, and particularly the insights of Imam Muhammad into Al-Islam, educate us into the best brain patterns and structures to grow into in order to be able to attract. And abstract. Look, let me say this too. I'm not talking about the law of attraction. Third time. I'm not talking about the law of attraction. That thing that you're going to find when you go to Google and online, blah, 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 blah. I'm not talking about that. All right? Let me be clear, clearer, inshallah. Listen, the universe is an infinite realm of potential. That's what the universe is, an infinite realm of potential, an infinite environment of potential. Just like incoherent light, it's like every particular spectrum of light is in wherever there is light. If there's light, then every spectrum of light is in that light, all right? Every wavelength is in that light, all right? Okay. So, but again, chemical composition decides which one is manifest. Okay, universe, same way. Universe, infinite spectrums of potential, possibility, et cetera. All right? What is drawn from, what one is inclined to, what one derives from, that universe and all of its potential has to do with its brain patterns. That's it. So, good brain patterns. Good abstraction, when applied in the natural creation out of which the abstraction came, then the creation responds in kind with things that would help us understand sakhara lakum ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. That's the universe. The universe will tell you, you got it right. Here you go. Right answer, you get the reward. Wrong answer, try again. That's how it is. That's the nature of life, okay? All right, so into Al-Islam, educate us into the best brain pattern. That's Al-Islam, and particularly the insights of Imam Muhammad. Into Al-Islam, educate us into the best brain patterns and structures to grow into in order to be able to attract, abstract, and to be predisposed. I mean, you have an inclination to, the best knowledge in the nature of creation and in the nature of our souls. That's what we have. That's what we have by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right. Adam, repeating or quoting Imam again, or referencing Imam Muhammad again, Adam is the innate or the inborn pattern or potential for thinking in every human being. The same pattern exists in the cosmological order of creation. And again, all that is a restatement of Fitratullahi lati fatara an-nas alayha. Okay? So, let's move further. Allah. No. So, now, I didn't say no. Now, So Al-Islam, which is, Al-Islam is the system, right? And so you have all these elements that make Al-Islam what it is, right? You have the Quran, you have the Seerah, you have the Hadith, the reports of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those things that comprise, excuse me, this system called Al-Islam. All right? Now, remember, and I want you to understand how true it is that Allah says, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَةً وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ الدِّينَ. This day have I perfected for you your way of life, and I have completed my favor upon you, and I have preferred for you Al-Islam as your way of life. Favor, I believe Surah 49. I'm looking it up specifically because I'm disappointed in the fact that their name doesn't come to me. Al-Hujara, yeah, the inner apartments. Al-Hujara. And it said they counted as a favor to Allah that they have embraced Al-Islam. He said, count now your Islam as a favor to Allah. But Allah has done you a favor in that he has guided you to the faith if you are sincere, right? No, you ain't doing me no favor, Allah. You ain't doing me no favors. So Allah is saying, this, I have perfected for you your way of life. And this is Allah telling us, the ones who are the recipients, whatever, just born, the mukallifs that accept Al-Islam, those people who ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, who accept Al-Islam, it's like Allah is doing you a favor by giving you or guiding you to a complete way of life that humanity's total evolution and every civilizational advancement that is involved with the arrival at whatever level of civilization, wherever you find, I don't care. You go to third world countries living in aluminum huts, mashallah. It's like that's still an advancement over the epochs of time just to get there. Right? And even though they are at the bottom of the rung in an emerging nation, that is still an advancement that took itself millions of years to get that far. But when you move even past that very low level, subsistence level, survival level, wherever that might be, and then you go to the heights of the modern world such as it is right now, like the knowledge that comprises, think about, you know, I was thinking about tall buildings, right? So, you know, the naked and the destitute competing and building tall buildings. The naked and the destitute, mashallah, is like, that's the taqwa. The taqwa has been stripped from them. That's the nakedness. The nakedness is like Adam and his wife. They were stripped of their raiment, and the raiment was the raiment of taqwa. So that taqwa, so now you're naked. Right? Okay, well, that's what's happening in this world, this modern world that we're in right now. You have the naked and the destitute. What kind of destitution? Spiritual destitution, moral destitution. That's what you find, moral corruption. That's what you find in those people who are competing and building those tall buildings, right? But the idea is that, though, really the only thing I'm trying to get to is that history that led to whatever level of success and achievement, there's a long history. And there are those who are competing, building those tall buildings. They're still using knowledge from the Egyptians. The knowledge came there, and it was tens of hundreds of thousands of years before the Egyptians themselves came into that particular knowledge. Now we have this world that's still feeding on that knowledge that itself took hundreds of thousands of years to evolve, and so many others. You know, the Oriental, the European, the African, all that knowledge. Okay, well, so you have it took that time. I'm talking about Allah's perfect favor. I'm talking about Allah giving you something. If you are sincere, that men and women over epochs of time start to go, yeah, now we got it, and they lord over the world fragments of knowledge, but which themselves, the fragments of knowledge are themselves powerful, but they don't even have the whole picture. You know, we used to laugh about the Masons, right? Where they say, yeah, they got 32 degrees. Well, we got Allah, give us 360 degrees. They only got 32 degrees, mashallah. So that being said, Allah opens up for us the universe of knowledge, what we need to understand beyond what we may have been given that was fabricated for our benefit. We have to, you know, set that down, get the benefits, set that down, and then come over to the real. All right. So now you have the time that it took to get there. And let me go ahead and punch a quick bit. When they build those buildings, how do they count or describe the height of the building? How do they count or describe the height of the building? They count it in stories. They count it in stories. And the highest level on all these buildings, the thing that's on the top, is the penthouse. It's the penthouse. And I don't think they mean repent. Maybe some of them might mean repent, but repent in the sense of getting your senses back. That's true. But the penthouse is the one who's got the most sense about what? The stories. Whoever has the most sense about the stories, they're the ones that's on top. That's the hierarchy. That's it, right? So all that. So negative destitute, da da da. Here we are, Muslims. Allah has revealed to us by the grace of Allah through and in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowledge that is superior to the penthouse knowledge. Let's make it short. Knowledge that's superior to the penthouse knowledge. What they struggled by the grace of Allah, what humanity struggled for millennia. And by Allah's grace, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent as his last revelation, a rahmatan lil alamin, a mercy to all the worlds. It's like, yeah, you built up this, but you damn near killed yourself each phase. So look, let me give you something where you can hold on to that and not die. You can achieve that and not suffer in this world and the next. So I'm going to give it to you, and whatever you have that's good, it's reaffirmed, it's underscored, it's validated in this way of life. Whatever you have that's not correct, inappropriate, won't get you to the destiny that you think it will, it's going to tell you, no, leave that aside, but you can bring that with you, but leave that here. So, alhamdulillah, that's what we have in our way of life. We're going to go ahead and leave it there. We haven't had a chance to get into the details, but now we know where we're going to start. Inshallah, next week. Okay, so before I go, those of you on Blog Talk, push one on your phone. If you have comments that you'd like to make, please keep them concise for us. Alhamdulillah, and welcome to everybody who's joining us on Facebook. And a belated welcome, I should say, because we're at the end. Facebook and YouTube, alhamdulillah, great to see you all. Brother James, I'll check and see what it is you got for us when I get off. I'm sure it's something good. Alhamdulillah, and we thank Allah for Imam Wadidi Muhammad as well. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, we're going to keep the language alive by Allah's grace. Alhamdulillah, thank you so much. All right. All right, Block Talk, no comments. You know, I auction off this time, going once. So it was a pleasure to spend time with you, inshallah. So tomorrow, Wealth Creation and Preservation with me and my co-host, Camila Mahasan Bilali and Shuad. I thank you all so much for your presence. God's peace be on you. Have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.